been easy to blow if they'd had to. Beyond it was another wall switch. Ryan considered the possibility that this could also have been wired, but rejected the notion. The charges planted back at the gateway had all the hallmarks of a last-minute decision. Perhaps in the final minutes of the withdrawal from the redoubt, someone with a few yards of wire and a handful of Plasex decided to make it tough for anyone trying to break into the Matran section of the complex. The overhead neon strip stuttered into life. They were all in a small stone-walled chamber, 10 feet square. The smell of damp was much stronger, and the earth beneath their boots was moist. The walls were streaked with fungus and slime-green lichen.
Look.
Jack pointed to a rusted metal cabinet screwed to the wall by the barred door.
Open it?
Yeah. Slow and easy.
The door wasn't closed, and the boy levered it open with his fingers, wincing at the screech of corroded metal from the hinges.
Huh. Blaster.
He took it out and held it to show the others.
Smith & Wesson 38. Or what's left of it.
The penetrating damp had reduced the handgun to a fragile orange skeleton. Jack dropped it to the floor, where it crumbled apart, the brass-jacketed round spilling out.
I've never seen a redoubt like this one. Doc?
I'm as dumbfounded as you are, my dear boy.
That way?
Rick pointed to a plain door on the far side of the small room.
Oh, stupid question, Ginsburg. Where the hell else are we gonna go? Back to the torture chamber again? I'd rather pass a rusty fish hook through my colon. No thanks.
Ryan gripped the handle and pressed it, part of his mind waiting for the starburst of an explosion that would tell him he'd made a poor calculation. But the door opened. Light spilled from the room behind him, illuminating the bottom of an iron spiral staircase, the treads and rails coated with a patina of reddish rust. There was no other exit or door.
Up.
About 5 minutes into the climb, Rick was starting to feel weak.
Whoa. This is what we used to call a whole lot of no fun.
Christy was also finding the going very hard indeed. Ryan tested the stairs, worried that 100 years of the bone-chilling damp might have rotted the iron. Though the surface flaked away, the main structure seemed sound. The light switch at the bottom of the ladder didn't work, so they ascended in almost total blackness. It wasn't even possible to see how far they had to climb, or if there was any way out once they reached the top. Ryan sympathized with Rick's comment. It was a lot of no fun.
15 minutes. Reckon we've climbed around 200 feet, allowing for the stops.
You talking about me, JB?
I can't. Sorry, folks. I am spent like a part-time paycheck. Fucked up hill and down. No more.
Rick sat on the cold steps, nearly weeping, his face a pale blur in the darkness. The others gathered around him. Christy was also near the outer limit of exhaustion, head in her hands. Doc was bearing up surprisingly well, assisted by his cane. Ryan, JB, and Jack were capable of climbing on forever. But it was an eerie feeling. The light from beneath had almost vanished, just a tiny circle of palest yellow, so faint that to blink was to lose sight of it.
I swear that this is akin to swimming in the ether, lost between heaven and earth.
It reminds me of the Pontchartrain Causeway. It's this long bridge that brings you into New Orleans. Yes, I should say it used to bring you in. Must be gone now. It was so damn long that when you were driving across and you were around the mid... Sweet Lord. Okay, better now. In the middle, you could look to both sides and see nothing but water. You look ahead and you couldn't make out the city, just water. And you look behind and the land vanished. Just more of the same water. Oh, it scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Ryan leaned on the rail, feeling it give a little under his weight. He straightened, looked down, then up, trying to make out an ending of the spidery staircase.
Yeah, Rick. I know what you mean.
Here!
Jack's faint voice floated down from the angelic heights far above the others.
Door?
Yeah. Can't move it. Shall I?
No! Wait for the rest of us.
Ryan climbed swiftly, JB at his heels, leaving the other three to fumble their way up after him as best they could. There was a platform, big enough to hold a dozen men, but as Ryan set his foot to it, he felt the tremor of movement and turned to the armorer behind him.
Stay there. It's swaying some.
They couldn't have done this trip every time they wanted to use the gateway. Gotta be an elevator someplace here.
It might have got wrecked during the nukings, and they put this in as a standby.
Maybe. Tell you, Ryan, this is the damnedest place I ever did see.
Oh, if my love were in my arms...
Take it easy, Doc. Platform here's not that safe. Tell the others behind you.
Ryan felt his way toward Jack, grateful for the avalanche of snowy hair that guided him like a beacon.
Got it. There's...
He ran his hands over the whole door, feeling two small sec bolts at top and bottom. He slid them both open, turned the handle, and pushed the door away from him. A rush of bitingly cold air swept over him, air so fresh it almost brought tears to his eye. He looked into a wintry night.
We're out.
Ryan looked around and tried to make sense of what he saw. The door had been cunningly concealed as a part of a chimney flue, so cleverly camouflaged that it was no surprise it had been hidden for a century. But this was no redoubt. They were in the ruined attic of a large house, almost a mansion from what they could see of it. Some of the roof tiles had disappeared, revealing the star-spangled heavens, though scudding clouds made it impossible to recognize any of the constellations. Snow came in fine showers between the stark rafters, piling under the eaves. The six friends huddled together for warmth. Jack was all for exploring, but Ryan told him to sit still and not risk moving around in the dark. Ordered him, pointing out that the state of the outer roof spoke of serious damage, and who knew what worse damage was lower down. Doc and JB fell asleep, and Christy dozed a while in Ryan's arms. Jack was sulking at being told off. Rick, on Ryan's left side, was still awake.
What do you figure?
Well, if I know, Rick. It's no official redoubt, that's certain.
It could be a private sex center. I heard some rich folks, seriously rich, you understand, had their own cryo centers.
Private freezies?
You ever heard of someone called Walt Disney?
Yeah, of course. Invented Mickey the Mouse. I've seen some old vids.
Sort of. Well, word was old Walt had himself frozen. He had the Big C. And he was kept on ice in a sort of funfair in Sleeping Beauty's castle. Kind of appropriate, isn't it?
Ryan had no idea what Rick was talking about. Soon as the first light of the sun appeared, JB took out his mini-sextant and computed where they were. He repeated the procedure and shook his head. He did it again. And again. By now they were all awake and watching, puzzled. Ryan finally asked the question.
Where are we?
Something's wrong with this. Either that... Or we're smack in the middle of Russia. Somewhere near their old city of Moscow.
There was a long pause while nobody said a word.
It's entirely possible.
Never.
Why not?
My dear Richard, it must surely be obvious even to someone whose brains have been addled and whipped into a cold collation.
Up yours, Doc. Just tell me why we couldn't be in Russia.
A gateway?
Yeah, a gateway. A Matt transunit jumps for the making of. Why not?
Because it's absolutely out of the question, Richard, that's why. You hardly think our communist brethren would have allowed such a thing, do you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
Come on, Rick. I wasn't there, but I've seen and read enough to know that there wasn't too much love lost between them and us.
They started Skydock.
Yeah, I know they did. But you gotta look back a while. Back to the late 80s. A guy called, Oh, shit, what was his name? Khrushchev?